Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas and Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. If you want to get in the final hour, 215-592-9494 is how you join in. A lot of fun today. We're joined by Brian Westbrook earlier on in the show. And B. West, obviously great, talking about Saquon and the running back position and this situation where if the Eagles find themselves in a spot, week 18, final game of the season. The rushing record is within reach, but you don't really have anything to play for. What do you do? Do you put them out there? Do you let them go for the record? Or do you put them on ice? And it's going to be a really interesting situation to monitor. And I think we've kind of come to an agreement on what we think the Eagles will do. It's that Nick is probably going to need to put this in the players' hands, right, Hugh, as a former player?
No.
No? You don't. Do you think Nick could just say,
No, you know what? Because I'm thinking, it's one of those things where we got bigger fish to fry, man. I feel like everything that we're talking about is moot, but sometimes you have to protect yourself from yourself. You have to protect other people from yourself. I don't think I said that right. But you get what I'm trying to say.
I get what you're saying.
Protect people from themselves?
Yeah.
We're trying to win a Super Bowl. I hear what you're saying. I feel like everything that we're discussing, it's going to eventually take care of itself.
Well,
you don't think so?
Well, here's what I'll push back. Sirianni did, at one point this season, ask Saquon if he wanted to stay in and get the record.
That's something totally different.
I disagree.
It's different because the season was so young at that point.
Well, right, but he did defer to Saquon and what he wanted.
But that, again, still young in the season, and and you're asking him out of respect for what that one game and that small sampling size meant to him.
Yeah, but you don't think he's going to apply that same logic to week 18?
Well, not when we talk about if my bell cow gets hurt trying to get a record, he's not ready for the Super Bowl.
Well, he could have got hurt in that game trying to get the Eagles record.
But Kyle, if he gets hurt in that game, to your point, I got 8 to 10 weeks to get him back.
I understand that. So you don't know what exactly the risk is, right? You don't know what kind of injury he'd sustain, anything. But it's just a risk in general.
Here's the thing. It's the same as to me, as running a risky play on 4th and 3. It's the same thing. Like, if you get it, you are the genius. Oh, he's a gutsy coach. If you miss it, you're an idiot.
And to that point, Hugh,
that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Risk reward.
But doesn't it mean the process matter more than the results?
Well, no, not in this case.
Well,
because Kyle, because in this case, it's like, what do you think hits worse? Say he goes out there. God forbid. I'm not going to even say anything negative. But
we know where you're going. Yep.
Yeah, and you've already been called an idiot like this year. Let's just break it down to that. Your sanity has been questioned,
which was wrong. But
no, it wasn't wrong.
Sure, it was.
That's another.
That's dumb.
Great coach.
Hold up, dog.
Come on, Hugh.
You had a Britney Spears moment, and the team benefited from it. But you still had a moment. Let's just call it what it is.
Iconic video.
If something happens where you put yourself, if you're the focal point of the story, you're a validated idiot.
Well, Saquon's the focal point of the story.
Well,
he should leave it up to Saquon.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know how Giglio will react. You're
a validated idiot.
You're scared of the Giglios of the world.
You're bonafide idiot.
How does it factor in last year the fact that A.J. Brown got hurt the final week of the season?
You're a bonafide idiot. You do this.
We
should have never gave him no money. He don't know how to act.
But it's not just a Saquon decision. Like B. West said it, like the O lineman will take pride in it. The other players on offense will take pride in it. Like Sirianni, if he's Mr. Players coach, You got to leave it up to the players.
Right.
Man, listen. I am trying to win a Super Bowl. And if, okay, now there's a bunch of variables in this equation that we haven't factored in. We're just hypothetically talking about if he doesn't have it, will I let him get it? I'm going to sit him down. You know what I'm going to do if I'm the head coach? I'm going to channel my inner Nick Sirianni. Say, listen, dog, I understand that this accolade means a lot to you, and I understand that for the offensive lineman it means a lot, but let's think about this for a while. We got a chance to win a Super Bowl, and I would love for you to get this record, and I would love for this to be a feather in your cap, but dog, if you get hurt in this game, if you hurt your pinky finger or something like that, I'm going to look like an idiot. No, I'm just saying. I'm keeping it minimal. I'm minimalizing.
No, that's a leading question, Hugh.
No, it's not.
You're leading Saquon
I'm keeping it
to the
bean.
Correct answer.
Listen,
the
I'm
answer
keeping
you
it
want.
A bean. I'm going to say,
leading
listen,
question.
Dog. No, I'm going to say, listen, dog. Ultimately, I'm going to ride with you with this one. But I'm
going to
take
a
book. I'm about to take some heat or something. Better not nothing happen to you.
Leading question.
Because I'm going to take some heat.
So what you're saying is
I'm going to let him know.
Nick should basically guilt Saquon into sitting.
That's exactly what you're doing.
No, you just tell me. I get if you want to go for it, but you're going to make me look really bad if you get
hurt.
Just
tell him pros and cons. Me my job.
You just tell him pros and cons.
And honestly, I'm having trouble refocusing now because after Kyle played that many men video of Nick Sirianni pacing the coach, pacing the practice. That video is going to live on in Eagles history. It's going to live on in Eagles history. Nick Sirianni, what do the Eagles do at the end of the year if Saquon has a chance at the record? Also, the one seed, do the Eagles need it? There are the two questions we got on the table. 215-592-9494. Also, one of the themes this season has been the Eagles' slow starts and how they've struggled early in games. Now, there have been some interesting quotes regarding that the last couple days. First, here was Lane Johnson. This is after the game on Sunday, talking about the offense and how some of their best stuff they haven't always used early on in games.
Talking about the fourth quarter success a little bit there. I asked Nick, so I'm going to ask you, do you guys hold stuff for the fourth quarter when it comes to the running game?
Yeah. Yeah, so there's some plays, at least the first half. I mean, we may bring them out third quarter, but there's a lot of stuff that we don't show in the first half that we might save for the second half. So,
I mean, but a lot of teams do that, though.
Is that that's common?
It's called chess. Like, it was one play where it was the RPO. And I think in the first half or the first couple of plays, Jalen, as I do it when nobody can see, Jalen faked the handoff. No, he handed the ball off, and the defensive end crashed down, and he made the play.
Yep, Romo pointed it out.
Yeah, he crashed down and made the play. A couple plays later, same action. The running back, the defensive end did the same thing. Jalen ran for like 20 yards.
Yep.
Yes, it's chess. Like a lot of things that happen during the course of the game, you might not get back to them right then and there. But, yeah, you want to see how the defense reacts to this. Because perfect example, I remember my rookie year, my biggest issue was I would get up the field every time the tackle would show me pass protection. And I used to get hit with the CTO all the time, counter trap option, where the tackle shows me, he shows me pass, the guard blocks down, and the other guard pulls, and he traps me. And it would be right out the gate because my job was to get the guard from going up on the second level. And I remember Mo Lewis telling me, damn it, Hugh, they're going to run that play until you stop it. You stop it one time, they'll never run it again. And I remember I used to get got on that same action all the time because they would set me up. They would let me run up the field, and I would fall for it. But the one time that I stopped it, I never saw it again. So, yes, it's a chess match within a football game. Because a lot of things that you do, you set up other plays. I remember Eric Mangini when he was with the Patriots. He said what made them so successful, they would run a play. They would run the same play until you stopped it. He said, and then we would run it again in different formations, but it's the same play. And they would run it until you stopped it. And when you stopped it, they would run another one until you stopped that one. And then they'd come back to the other one. But it's the way that you get to it that's the chess match. That's why when people talk about Roquan Smith was calling out the plays, and like last year, Joey Bosa said they knew the plays. Yeah, you could call them out, but if you can't stop the execution, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And this is interesting. This is something Nick Sirianni talked about as well. Here was Nick Sirianni on with the morning show this week talking about this very issue of the Eagles setting things up early in games.
You know, I think what our coaches have done, again, when you're good on offense, you're going to get things that you don't quite anticipate. Like there's things that are going to be shown on tape that aren't shown on tape. Rich, you know this. Like that are not shown on tape that you're going to get because you have a good offense. And like, where did that come from? I haven't seen that. Well, they saved it for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think we talk so much about, you know, slow starts, and we have to start scoring more on our opening drives. And you know, we've had some we had some drives that have went. The last week was not one of those. But I think what our coaches don't get enough credit for is the way they do adjust and the way they do set up, because we are one of the top scoring offenses in the second, third, and fourth. But we tend to look at things just in a negative aspect of where we are in the first quarter. Now, that's not to say that we don't have to get going faster and better than we have, because it's so important that you get off to a fast start. But I think the coaches and the players have all done a nice job of adjusting to what the defense is doing to us. And that's why we're one of the better scoring teams in the second, third, and fourth quarter.
And it is interesting because you brought up that play where they handed it off to Saquon and he gets stopped at the line of scrimmage. But Tony Romo points that out and he's like, okay, well, they're going to read that. And next time Jalen's going to keep it. And I think it's similar to like a fighter, whether it's boxing or UFC, anything like that, where some guys will be content to like give up early rounds just to kind of make their reads and adjust as things go on. Do you kind of think that's what the Eagles do early in games?
I don't know about that. I think that a lot of times, because I've heard this more than once, that teams, when they come out, they show they are seeing looks that they don't normally see. But I feel like once they get a bead, that they go into it and they say, okay, they're susceptible to this, that, or the third. You know, and that's, they work it from there. Because like I said, that was one play that stuck out to me. The one thing that's a truism when it comes to this team is going into a game, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I have to figure out what do I want to try to stop. And right now the focal point is to try to stop the running game because it hasn't been stopped. You don't understand, people, how dangerous that is to have a running game that up until this point nobody has been able to figure out, especially in the second half. Nobody's been able to figure that out. Now, I haven't seen a whole lot of Detroit Lions games, but it feels to me like there are times where the running backs might be, you know, the focal point, and then sometimes the passing game. And if I'm not mistaken, it feels like the last couple of weeks has been more of the passing game. No, excuse me, more of the running game that has been their bread and butter. And the passing game is kind of taking a back seat. Not sure. You know, that's just my speculation. Like I said, I haven't seen a whole lot of games. But we have a running game that up until this point in the season, nobody has been able to figure out. That's dangerous. That's dangerous because no team – and we've played against some pretty good fronts. You know, you talk about that Baltimore Ravens defense on the front end. They were pretty good. You talk about that Rams team that had a good front four. They were pretty good. And nobody has been able to figure out the cheat code or the piece to slow Saquon down. You might slow him down the first half, but in that second half, he's toting the rock. And you can't stop it.
And it just always feels like he's going to break one. Like, it had that feel during the game on Sunday that eventually he's going to break one loose. And I did think that was interesting with the slow starts as far as the Eagles maybe setting things up for later in games. Maybe there's something to it. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go back to the phones. Jake in Delco. What's up, Jake?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
What's going on, man?
I wanted to give the much maligned Hugh Douglas his flowers for a couple things.
Nope.
Oh,
I was kidding, Jake. It's all right.
What's that?
You okay, Jake? Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I'm good. Can you
this
hear
is
me?
A joke.
We got you, man.
We got you. What's up?
I tried to do this about a week or so ago, and Kyle shut me down.
I would never do that.
Sounds like Kyle.
A lot of the people, Jake.
So Q said that going into this season, he said this season would be basically it. And it has been in terms of they started a little rough. But then they got together as opposed to last year, which we all saw. And that has become a take that has become very true. And the other one was when Sirianni had his Britney Spears moment, Q was saying, and I remember him being almost laughed at for it, he was saying, this is the kind of thing that a team can rally behind. I'm telling you, this might turn into something where it's us against the world and we all we got, we all we need kind of thing. And damn if that did not happen.
I know
the
crazy.
Many men.
I know crazy, Jake. I mean, you know, I speak crazy and I gravitate towards crazy for the most part. So I kind of felt like that was the case. I remember sitting at the tailgate and I was like, when we were talking about it, and I think Elliot was the one that showed me the picture, and I was thinking, I can't say exactly what I said on the air. I can't say exactly what I said on the air, but I was like, oh, he didn't lost his mind. And I was like, this could be one or two things. This could be something that's really good, or it could be really bad. And I know a lot of people tried to downplay it, but there was something going on with Coach Sirianni. And he workshopped his way out of it, and this team has had success from it. So that's a great thing.
Yeah, man. Yep. And you know what I always go back to with all the stuff about Nick Sirianni? Last year when Fletcher Cox, at the end of the year, in the locker room, when Jeff McClain said something to him about Nick Sirianni, whether or not the coach was going to get fired, and the look in Fletch's eyes, and he just said, "You's a clown. He's the coach of this football team." And I said, damn, that look in his eyes said everything about how these guys feel.
Yeah, he probably didn't like Jeff McClain either, though. He probably,
yeah.
probably didn't like him.
There you go, Jake. Appreciate the call. I think Kyle intimidated Jake a little bit. Like, he came on a little tentative, and I think it's because of Kyle's intimidating personality.
Do you know me as somebody that would do that?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, Kyle, look at him. He's sitting over there. Yeah, He's got a mad look on his face. He's crouching.
Kyle's intimidating, man.
Kyle's an idiot.
Kyle's very intimidating.
Kyle is intimidating.
Yeah, he is.
But he brings a much needed.
What they call it, mean and surly.
To this show,
mean and surly.
Some people, it's bullying works. So sometimes people need to be bullied into doing the right thing for the betterment of everybody else.
Did Nick Sirianni need to be bullied? I felt like he was bullied over the bye week.
Absolutely.
A little bit.
I mean, he was bullied all offseason.
Yeah.
I mean mainly by us.
Let's keep it a bean. Did he not bring most of the bullying on himself?
I mean, look,
let's be honest.
If we really want to think about it, the turning point of the season was our O-line bullying Nick Sirianni into running the ball.
That's not untrue. That is not untrue.
Like, I'm just saying.
Jordan Mailata, and he didn't put it that way when he was on with you, Hugh, at the Players Lounge.
Yeah.
But when you read between the lines, kind of intimidating. I mean, Jordan Mailata, Landon Dickerson, Lane Johnson walk into your office, and they
tell you, hey, man, this is what we need to start doing.
They quote-unquote ask you to do something. Ask. I don't know. I'd be pretty.
Yeah,
I'd be pretty scared.
Say no to that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, bullying works. There you go. The theme.
You
got to
do what you
got
to do, man. You got to do what you got
to
do.
Let's go to John. What's up, John?
Hey guys, how you guys doing today?
What's going on, man?
Hey, listen. I got like 3 points to make. I guess the first one is, I hate to rag on the referees, but I think that's why we need home field advantage this year, because I don't know what's going on, but the Ravens should have never scored that last touchdown.
Yeah, they picked the flag up. They picked the flag up.
The guy had him by the defensive lineman by the jersey.
There was a block in the. It looked like there was a block in the back.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, did that make a difference as far as the outcome of the game concerned? I mean, that's how I kind of look at it.
That's leading into my other point. I don't know. I've been watching football. I'm 58 years old, so I've been watching football a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They're picking up a lot of flags anymore and saying there's no penalty. No.
Yeah, they did
no
that.
Fault.
It felt like a lot of that has been going on, no doubt.
I mean, I don't know what's going on with that, but I'm noticing that a lot anymore. Pick the flags up for the two holding calls we had against the Rams, you know? But anyway, that's my – well, I think we – I'm a little worried. I think we would maybe get a little bit of the benefit of the doubt if we're at home, with our home crowd.
And maybe
they need to get on these refs with the holding too. I mean, let them know. Watch what's going on as fans, and let them know.
Well, maybe that's the case, John. I appreciate the call, but Q, I want to get your take on that, because obviously, I mean, Jalen Carter, it looked like he was getting held pretty frequently in the game.
Yeah, that's
going to
happen.
there's nothing you can really do about it.
Nah.
But how frustrating is it as a defensive lineman when you're getting held
and you're not getting calls? I was always told, TK, if they're holding you, that's your problem. That's your fault because you're not getting off the blocks. And if Jalen Carter doesn't like it, then he has to do something about it, like violent hands. Offensive linemen, for the most part, as I, again, do this, like I'm illustrating why I'm on radio, but offensive linemen, they're taught to hold within your shoulder pads.
Yep.
Like inside, like where your boobies are, the man boobies. And they get underneath that pad right there. No, seriously.
Yeah.
And they hold and they try to hold close because if they're doing that, they don't call that.
Right.
So it's on Jalen Carter to make sure that he disengages with that. As I do it, as I flip the arms or like extend his arms and pull them to the side so that the ref can see that. Because they're not going to – if the lineman is in front of you and he's holding you, they're never going to call that. So you have to make it so that you're visibly trying to get off the block and you can visibly see them holding you, then they'll call it. They're never going to call that. Tommy used to tell me that all the time. He said, damn it, Douglas, if you're getting held, that's your fault.
Right. And it's one of those things that as a fan, it is frustrating to watch. But that's an interesting perspective that, hey, I mean, you got to disengage.
Make it blatant. The only way they're going to call it is if you're disengaging in the blocks. And I know I see what people are talking about, but Jalen's not doing a good job of disengaging. He kind of sits there because he's getting double teamed and he might be a little tired or whatever. And he's pushing the pocket, and I think that's initially what he's programming himself to do because he's getting penetration, but he's not coming off the block. He's pushing the lineman back. He needs to learn how to push-pull. Like, when you push him back, snatch him. Snatch him quickly and throw him to the side. That way, if they're holding on, they're going to call that.
And because they'll pull you down with them.
Yeah, they'll pull you down with them.
Right.
So he has to do a better job of that, but – as far as what he's doing, he's doing his job, man. He's taking two blockers, and they can't do nothing with him. Sometimes three. But if he's getting held, that's on him.
Yeah, that's interesting. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, final segment coming up. We'll run your phone calls. Before we get out of here, maybe Hugh will set us up with a parlay for tonight's game.
Let's go, Hugh.
I'm riding with Hugh tonight, buddy. With this parlay. And we'll get into what we think about this game tonight. Awesome game between the Packers and Lions coming up. Broadcast right here on WIP. You can hear all the action coverage starting at 7:30 tonight. Tom Kelly, in for Joe Giglio, alongside Hugh Douglas. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94. It's the